The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Do we play any role in speeding up the second coming? Well, then we define biblically what a true Jew is. Being Jewish, I can do that. Do the ends justify the means? And here's what you do if you get no sign from God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. I know, they're 10 numbers, and they scare you. But you can do this. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, prayer requests, praise reports, anything you want. Because it's not professional radio. And we proved that yesterday when all the power went out. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, a shout out to Wonder Julie, who did a fantastic job keeping the entire ship afloat yesterday. Nice work there. Nice work. Very good.
We did what we could.
You did a great job. Also, Tierra, the terrific tornado.
Yeah.
That's her name.
We were whipping through the halls like nobody's business.
Man, it was like chickens all over the place with no heads. It was pretty funny. But we got through. We had a good show. I thought everybody did well, did a good job. Let's lead off with our new sponsor. And I love this. This is one of my favorite new sounds that we're using. This is for Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Restore, fire and water damage, cleanup, sewage, removal, other restoration services in Dallas, Irving, Texas, and all the surrounding areas. Here's the bottom line. If you got something going on, you need a restoration company, you want somebody who is connected to the Lord and will do it right, these are the people. Clint is a great, great guy, good brother in the Lord, deep, sincere, real faith, love stuff like that, right? So like my fave. They do free evaluations, so you don't have to pay if they come and look at it. If you call them, they get back to you within 60 minutes. See, so within 60 minutes of what's going on, bam, they're going to get back to you. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated. Have to like that. They've worked with thousands of happy customers, family-owned and operated. Keeping it easy, MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com is their website, their phone number, 877-631-7576. That's 877-631-7576. But you got to tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. Trust me, that is an important part of all things in regards to radio and radio advertising and sponsorship. Okay, that's over there. So you got all these things to take care of. Number two, today, I bet most people don't know what today is. Today is not one of those really important holidays, and it's not a foodie. So it's not as cooly. It's just a regular kind of thingy. It's called Race Your Mouse Day. And that is for people that work with computers, and you're supposed to take your mouse and run it in a circle as fast as you can and see who can ever do it the fastest. I don't know where they came up with that. I don't know who made that up. I still think that they were just bored and somebody came up with an idea. I'm just going with it. That's where we're going. A couple things I want to bring to your attention. So I am in the midst of praying. I already told you, Mr. Bell, praying about getting a doctor of ministry. I'm still kind of working on, and that's going to be kind of a long prayer kind of thing. So you just pray the Lord gives me direction. But for the show, I'm seriously considering doing some expository teaching. Now, the difference between topical teaching and expository is pretty straightforward. When you do expository teaching, you go line by line. All right. When you do topical teaching, you do a topic. Contrary to popular opinion in some church realms, there is no specific preferred method. If somebody wants to use the Old Testament to say it should be line by line, you should also say that everybody has to stand up every time the word of God is brought forward. Everybody has to do amens at certain times. So some of that stuff's just kind of like traditional legalism. Forget that stuff. Jesus taught mostly, probably about 98%, 99% topical. You think, well, that's Jesus, right? But Paul taught that way. Moses taught that way. Well, actually, Moses was a little bit more liturgical. But the idea in that was, law abiding. The idea in that is to understand that topical is fine and expository is fine. There's nothing wrong with either one. If your church teaches one, great. If you don't like that style, then find a church you like. It's not a big deal. But I'm trying to decide here on the show, and we do a lot of topical. So we're looking at doing expository. If we do expository, which I'm leaning towards, it's either Philippians or Ephesians. Da-da-da-da! Which is my kind way of saying, I don't know. So, da-da-da-da! So if you call in to answer a trivia or for any other reason, or you reach out to us at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and you do have a preference between Philippians and Ephesians. Ephesians is more of a scholarly kind of get into it kind of thing. And Philippians is still expository, but not quite as scholarly. Okay. All right. There you go. Something to consider, something to think about, something to toss around. Let me open up with this, and then we will fire into our first review. So let me start with this. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that you died for my sins, according to the Scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later, you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon. I thank you for this new life you have given me. I praise you, and I pray this in your name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. The reason I bring that up is because it's all you people are thinking, well, it takes, you know, a big ceremony to get saved, and, you know, the clouds have to align perfectly, and the raindrops have to fall a certain way, and the snowflakes have to fall a certain way. That explains why not that many people are saved in Arizona. Anyway, the idea there is to understand that that's not how that goes. The scripture in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as receive, that word in the Greek is also accept, Jesus Christ, have been given the right to become children of God. There is a call for people to receive, to accept, to acknowledge Jesus Christ and the testimony that God has given regarding his son. It does not give you all this deep theological stuff. It says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Bam. Keep it there. Now, why am I bringing that up before we're doing anything else? Because of this. The question I'm going to ask you real simply, without you getting to be a theologue or myself to be a theologue, is basically, can we play any role in speeding up the second coming of the Lord? Before you answer, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised? Even ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Those for all the people that are going, whatever, Jesus is not coming back. It's obvious it's all just a religion or just a theory or just a hoax or this or that or whatever. Well, here it is. I'll make it real simple. Guess what, Sparky? Jesus is coming again, and it's sooner than people think. The question is, you know, whether it's going to be by trumpet, it's a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib, doesn't matter. He's coming again, and that's at the core of everything we believe. So you might be thinking, well, what's he waiting for? I'm going to bust up the theology just because I'm in the mood. I'm in a mood? You should know. I'm in a mood. 2 Peter 3:9 through 12. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. What?
What?
A little Tim Allen for you. This is all about salvation. He's patient. He doesn't want people to perish. He's not slow in keeping his promises, as we understand slowness, because we are completely impatient people. He's wanting people to respond. Not everybody is going to respond, but he wants everybody to come to repentance. They're not going to do what he wants any more than Adam and Eve didn't sin in the very beginning. But that's not what the Lord wanted, but that's what they did. But the day of the Lord's going to come, boom. And at the very end of verse 11, it says that you ought to live holy and godly lives and look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. A lot of people are like, no, 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 that's not what the Greek means. That is the go-to when nobody has a theology. That's not what it means. Yes, it is. Here's what it is. I'm going to make it super simple. It's all about salvation. Okay, the whole thing. It's all about, you know, what we lost in the garden, that fellowship with God, restored through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and wrapping it up with a bow at the end of it and going back to whatever it is we were going to do, right? It's all about salvation. It's all about the timing and speeding it up on our part. In other words, we're not going to create cataclysmic events in the universe, but the one thing we can do is share the gospel with people all around us, because I will tell you this, this theology has a great deal of weight behind it. We're waiting for the last person to say yes to Jesus Christ. And then the real party starts. Now, you might think, well, is that person born yet? Is that person in their 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s? I have no idea. So it's our, and God's not telling people, so it's our job to keep sharing and witnessing until the last one rings the bell. And that's the end of the program. And you know what's really bizarre about that? The very person you share with that has never accepted Jesus Christ or heard the gospel might be the very last one. Wow, that just drops heavy-duty weight all over the place. Yeah, but it's kind of cool. Because it's like, ooh, this is really kind of right. You can help move it along, share, witness. Now, God knows when it's going to happen. But you can help move it along from your perspective, earth perspective, our perspective. Isn't that cool? You never know, because it's just the next yes that makes all the difference. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Swin Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. We also have a new sponsor we're going to talk about.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Johnny.
How's retirement?
Well, I have to be at work at 7:30 in the morning.
Whoa, Frank, I thought you were retired.
Yeah, well, I didn't do a good job keeping my money safe, and when the market dropped, I lost half my money, so I had to go back to work.
So now what?
Well, you can have fries with that.
No, Frank, that's not what I mean. People have problems all the time. They make mistakes, but what are you going to do about it now?
Who's
going to
help me in my position? My finances are a mess.
You need my guy. Contact Jamie Blumenthal from Retirement Strategies and Solutions. He and his wife Nancy have helped over 600 clients just in the Dallas area. If he can help you, he'll let you know, and he won't charge anything for you to find out.
How do I get a hold of him?
Go to his website, retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com. You can also call him at 800-287-1667.
Thanks, Johnny.
No problem, Frank. Remember, Plan right, retire right, retire the right way, my friend. Get in touch with Jamie today.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Wow, what a roof!
It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'll let you know if you want to send us an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That's davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. On that website is a link to all our sponsors, which makes it easier for you to get in touch with them if you can't remember their numbers or if I talk too fast. Which you can count on that being true. Okay, I'm going to do a read that we haven't done, a live read, and it's for a new company called The Benefit Link. The Benefit Link, just so you can know, their big claim, the big claim to fame and what they're famous for and what people know them for is they help people get Medicare supplements, Medicare supplement plans for free. For free, get a quote. Find out what's going on. Get the Medicare supplement quotes for free. They help with Medicare basics, Medicare supplement plans, Medicare resources. They help you cover all those general elements that have to do with passionately providing peace of mind if you need to add on to the Medicare plan that you have. The way that you get in touch with them, watch this. Watch this. You want to love this? 972-BENEFIT. I got the coolest people. 972-BENEFIT, BENEFIT, 972-236-2348. You can also go to thebenefitlink.com, thebenefitlink.com. More information about these folks and our new sponsor is forthcoming. How's that? That's cool. We got to come up with a benefit sound. I don't know how to do a benefit sound, so I don't know what that's going to be. So we're going to have to talk about that and figure that one out. That's complex. Okay, trivia question. You know, because it could be, you know, benefits. I don't know. You have to think about that. We'll kick it around. We'll get something. Now my brain's racing about that. Here we go. First question. How long did the daughter of Abraham in the Gospel of Luke, how long did the daughter of Abraham who was healed on the Sabbath, how long did she have her affliction in her back? How long did she have her affliction? All right? Or how long did she have her illness? Or I don't. How long did she have that affliction in her back? 972 445-0770. 972-445-0770. How long did she have that? Don't Google it. Just look it up. It's in Luke. That'll help you. Okay? It's in the Gospel of Luke. It's only 24 chapters you got to read in the next 30 seconds. You can do it. Let's go into our second portion here. And don't forget, we're going to be asking people expository teaching. Would you rather hear Philippians or would you rather hear Ephesians? And not that I'm going to use that as an absolute. I'm just trying to get kind of a temperature feel. So don't get too excited about it. All right, let me talk to you about true Jewish people. For those that do not know, I was born and raised Jewish. I went to private Hebrew school. I got kicked out of private Hebrew school. I went to regular school. I got kicked out of that school too. Bottom line is my parents have a descendancy that probably most likely directs to the Levitical, but most Jewish people who are alive today are either from the tribe of Judah or Benjamin or of Levi. Okay, just to let you know. That's the Ashkenazi Jew versus the Sephardic Jew, which are Jewish people that went to Spain and intermixed their blood with people in Spain. So I understand what it is. I understand what it is to go through the bar mitzvah process. I know what it's like, just so you can be aware, to take my aunt and pull her head off the toilet at Pesach dinner because she had too much Manischewitz wine. Okay, I know what that's like. Who did they make clean it up? Oh, David, he's the baby. Make him do it. That's great to be the baby, except for when you're 9 or 10 and you can actually do things like that. Okay, so, but I want people to understand that biblically, I don't care what the rabbis in America say. I don't care what the rabbis in Israel say. I care what God says. So I want to talk about the biblical definition of who a true Jewish person is. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. So let's just understand what's being said. A Jewish person, a Jew, is a descendant of not just Abraham. And why is that? Because Ishmael was also a descendant of Abraham, and the descendants of Ishmael were not Jewish. But a descendant of Abraham through the line of Jacob, who was renamed Israel, thereby identifying with the 12 tribes. So no one is just simply a Jewish person by merely outward or physical attributes or because a rabbi says so. That means nada. And for those that are freaking out and saying, well, it's got to be through the mother's line, that's what all of the rabbis say in America. Yeah, that's why it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's like so weird. It's like it's literally Jesus goes, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's through the mother. Okay, whatever you say, just work that one out. But here's the bottom line. True Judaism is inward, and even my Reformed Jewish parents knew that this was true, that this has to be something that takes place on the inside. It's not just a matter of law along those lines. So here are the three key signs for a person who's truly Jewish. Number one, just what it says, the circumcision is now outward and physical, but it is a circumcision is a matter of the heart. Now, what does that mean? Because that just sounds weird. What it means is less flesh in your heart. The fact that you know, the heart's kind of wicked there, desperately wicked, and like, who can know it? It's like, you know, I need a circumcision of my heart. On a regular basis, I pray this. I know. Probably shouldn't, but there could be some of my guilt that I grew up with. But I always pray that God creates in me a clean heart, because my heart tends to get dirty from the morning when I wake up, all the way from then to when I go to bed. Something happens. So I pray to the Lord every day, you create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, just as David mentioned in the Psalms. So the big, most important part, the most engaging initial part is to understand that true circumcision from God's point of view has all to do with what's really taking place on the inward, not on the outward. It's not the outward sign that declares. In fact, that's the problem that Jesus had with all of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy and their outward fake righteousness. Jesus made it absolutely clear it's what's inside that matters. So everybody's saying, well, this is my background, or this is my pedigree, or this is where I come from. Who cares? What God cares about is whether or not there's a circumcision of the heart so that there's less flesh in your heart. So the scripture says, a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. That's the first point. A true Jewish person in the eyes and mind and heart of God is somebody who understands that circumcision is of the heart, and that means less flesh. The second point is what it says next, by the Spirit, engaging with the Holy Spirit. And while the Holy Spirit is poured out on us abundantly now, and the outpouring of the Spirit's different from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and we understand that was really the great outpouring amongst believers, what we can understand now is that if you are a person who engages with the Holy Spirit, then guess what? You are truly Jewish. If you have a circumcision of your heart and you truly engage with the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, the very breath that breathed into Adam was the breath that God breathed into the Word, is the very Holy Spirit that exists in you. You understand? The Holy Spirit's in you. And some people have difference on the theologies of pneumatology. That's what the theology of the Holy Spirit is. Those differences, that's not a fellowship issue. It's really all about this. You want to have as much of a sensitivity and openness to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life as anything else in your existence. Now, there are some Christians who say, oh, the Holy Spirit, that's just the Word of God. No, it's not. Okay? That's wrong. That's bad theology. Just ignore that. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, one that you worship when you sing holy, 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 which you don't do to the Bible. Okay? I'm just saying. Just careful there. You don't want to have a Bible worshiping attitude. You just know that that's the breath and the communication of God, but that's what points you to God. So be careful. Then the third point was this. Listen to this. It's all really simple. A Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, done by the Spirit, not by the letter. Okay, so it's not a legalistic thing. His praise, this is the person who's a Jew, is not from man but from God. So this person who's Jewish has a circumcision of the heart, is engaged with the Holy Spirit, and seeks praise from God, not from man. Because seeking praise from man is dumb. That's why. Because that's the biggest disappointment you'll ever come across. Less flesh in your heart. Engage with the Holy Spirit, seeking praise from God. You do those three things, you are a true biblical Jew. That's what it says. People don't have to like it. I could care less. It's what it says. It's what we go by, the Word of God. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Attention, real estate people of Earth. You have an out-of-this-world opportunity to talk with a real estate professional who can give you insight and advice on real estate strategies. The real estate market is changing, and to miss this opportunity is to leave income and equity on the table. Don't do that. Don't miss out on the latest real estate run. Don't miss it again. Contact Pamela Melchiono. That's Pamela Melchiono. Go to theblessedrealtycompany.com, fill out the form, and schedule a free consultation with Pamela. Not only will you be glad you did, but you'll be sad if you don't. Real estate opportunities don't exist forever. Take advantage while you have the chance. Take advantage while you still can. Contact Pamela. Her service and spirit are excellent. Your results will be excellent. You will say, excellent. Call Pamela at 817-505-5541. That's 817-505-5541. Or go to our website and schedule a meeting, theblessedrealtycompany.com. You'll be glad you did. You'll be sad if you don't. That is all.
What is the David Spoon experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Huh. Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
It's incredible. And it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Our website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. And YouTube, David Spoon Media. And there's a lot of David Spoon Media there. So think of it in those terms. Okay, we're going to ask our trivia question again, as long as I don't hit the piece of paper and knock it off the desk and it goes on the other side, and then I look at it and then try and remember it by osmosis. How long did the daughter of Abraham, she was the daughter of Abraham, in the Gospel of Luke, how long did she have her back affliction? How long did she have her affliction? She had an affliction. Jesus healed her. He healed her on the Sabbath. So people were mad because somehow the Sabbath is more important than people. Okay, that makes no sense since the Sabbath was made for people. How long was that woman who had the back problem bent over? You're thinking, what back problem? The bent over woman. See, if you're bent over, it's a back problem. See how that? See it? See what I'm saying? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Wonder, Julie, I'm going to skip the read on this one just to let you know. That makes it easier and harder for Wonder, Julie, at the same time. Let's see if you can figure that one out. That's a good one. I'm going to teach something, talk about something that is getting a lot of play in on cable television. Getting a lot of play in magazines and newspapers and the internet. Do they still have magazines? They still have them, right? They haven't gotten rid of them yet? Okay. That's coming. Just saying. It's like, what's the new thing? It's a magazine for your phone. Like a blog? Oh. So anyway, the thing I want to talk about is the ends and the means. Have you ever heard of the expression, the ends justify the means? Have you heard that expression before? There are multiple groups that will say that. There are multiple groups, not just in this country, that will say the ends justify the means. In fact, terrorism uses that exact same philosophy. The ends justify the means. This is any progressives, any radicals, any liberal colleges, any conservative colleges, any groups thinking that whatever they do, the end justifies the mean, justifies the means. In other words, what happens as a result is okay. It's no matter what it takes to get there. Let's talk about what this really is. This is going to be a very educational segment. So if you've never heard this before, I don't think they teach this a lot or talk a lot about this, but let's talk about it from the biblical point of view. The ends justifies the means thinking is called consequentialism. Yeah, that's a big word, and if you say it in Yiddish, it sounds like this, consequentialism. And consequentialism is the class of normative ethical theories, in other words, these are theories holding that the consequences of one's actions or conduct, what end results in it, are the basis for whether it's right or wrong. In other words, from a consequentialist standpoint, a morally right act is one that will produce the outcome they want. In an extreme form, the idea of consequentialism is commonly encapsulated in the ends justify the means, meaning that if a goal is important enough, no matter what the method, it's okay in achieving the goal, no matter what the case may be. Okay. Whoop. Okay, we're going to get back to that in just a second. Who am I talking to?
To Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou. How are you?
I'm blessed. And
you know
I think
what?
It's 18 years.
You are correct. It is 18 years.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Do you remember what Jesus said was the cause of that sickness or of that back problem? Do you remember what he said? He said,
he's bound by a spirit, I think.
That is right again. You are on fire. That is right. So it was a spirit, and Jesus was mad because they were all upset about their own selves and the Sabbath, and they didn't care about a woman who's in discomfort for 18
years. Yep.
Wow. Excellent job, Mary Lou. Excellent job.
God's good.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Excellent. Great job by Mary Lou. Thank you very much. She was just on it, and she knew it was by a spirit. That's exactly right. That's why Jesus said, shouldn't this daughter of Abraham be released, who Satan is bound? And initially, Jesus had referenced it as a spirit. Great job on her part. Okay, let's go back. Excellent. I like it when you guys get it right and nail it down. It's cool. All right, so let's talk about this consequentialism. I'm not trying to kind of drive you nutty. I'm just going to drop it. I'm just going to drop it like you go to a microphone and you drop the microphone and then you walk away, you know, that whole thing. And I've actually seen Tony Evans do that. I saw him teaching at a pastor's conference that I was hosting, and he walked out and he taught, and everybody thought it was really good, and he took the microphone, held out right in front of him, and dropped it. Right in front of all the pastors. It was so funny. I mean, it was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But it's important to understand that this consequentialism is, hey, no matter what happens, no matter what we do, no matter how it goes, we're going to do whatever we got to do to get the end result. Let me explain to you where this the origination of this comes from before you're thinking this is new or anything like that. It's actually from the Greek playwright Sophocles, who wrote a play called Electra in 409 BC, and the thought was the end excuses any evil. So the end result is enables a person to be excused of any evil they did. This is where the first notation is in history that we know of. A thought later rendered by a Roman poet, Ovid, who said that the results justify the deed, and then that was in his poem, Herodes. And so Herodes is the original poem that came by, and that was about 10 BC. So this is a philosophy that's been around for a long time. Hey, the ends justify the means. But what does the Bible say? I don't care what these guys say. What does God say? Romans chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. But if our unrighteousness brings about God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I am using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Well, why not say, as we're being slanderously reported as saying, and as some claim, let us do evil that good may result. Their condemnation is deserved. Okay, so let's just add this up from the biblical point of view. A human way of thinking is, I can do whatever I want to do because it will show that God is righteous. Isn't that cool? And the biblical argument is, you're nuts. And this all goes to the end justifies the means. It's a human way of thinking. So what a person is saying, what Paul is referencing is, if my lie promotes God's truth, so what's the problem? The problem is this, that if you think you can do evil that good may come, you are actually nutsy cuckoo wackadoodle. And so here's all that Paul wrote about it, which is amazing because he wrote a very limited amount about this. He said, these ungodly people, their condemnation is deserved. These are ungodly people with ungodly actions, and they deserve divine judgment. So when they say, well, the ends justify the means, God says, that's just absurd. It's wrong. No, you understand, whatever it takes. See, with that thinking, just in case you didn't know this, with the climate change thinking, the thought is eliminate all of humanity so the planet is okay. Well, first of all, who would know the planet's okay? If you kill everybody, nobody would be there to report it. Okay, the point is, doing evil to try and promote good is condemned biblically. So when they say the ends justify the means, no, they don't. And if you read Romans chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, where the text is, you'll find out that human philosophy is godless. And God's attitude, I'm going to judge it. So don't buy into it, even though it's groupthink. Just use the word of God as your core. You'll find out that there's plenty of truth there to stand against all current and past philosophies. Even Isaiah 40, verse 22, which says that God sits on the circle of the earth 700 years before science figured out that the earth was round. You know, they say those flat earthers. I just say those science people, they are 700 years behind God's truth that the earth is a circle. That's how much advanced scripture is. If they were a Bible believer, you'd just look at them and laugh. What? You don't even know. Oh, but those flat earthers, not even a valid argument, because genuine Bible believers would know Isaiah 40, 22. Yeah, there you go. Dave, you're in a mood today. Wait till I get home on the get going on the road. Then we'll see what kind of mood I'm in. Okay, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Gonna take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now listen, I've done a lot of interviews, and every once in a while you do an interview with somebody who's legendary. And he doesn't even know why he's legendary. And when I tell him, he's going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. the legendary Josh McDowell with us, co-authoring the book with his son, Sean, The Beauty of Intolerance, joins us live. Josh, are you there with us?
It's sure better to join you live than dead.
I love it.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well, get to feeling groovy again.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's right. Actually, I'm in a really good mood. It's tough for me sometimes to teach on the ends justify the means because it's just biblically incorrect. And then talking about true Jewish people, it's just something that these are kind of like along these passionate lines. Hey, look, this is what the scripture says. This is what it is. So if I come off really angry, I'm not as angry as I seem. I'm larger than I should be because I have a lousy diet, but one thing has nothing to do with the other. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. You're welcome to reach out there. I do have one more trivia question. I don't know if you'll be able to get it in or not. You'd have to be kind of fast. I did have a question, and no looking it up. This is if you know it, you know it, and if you don't, you don't. It's not the end of the world. But in the book of Revelation, how many seals, how many trumpets, and how many bowls are there? How many seals, how many trumpets, how many bowls in the book of Revelation? That's the question. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. This little encouragement, that's what I call it, a Mick encouragement. We're not even going to get through that because I think somebody's calling in with the answer. So I didn't think anybody would jump on that fast. I'd be wrong. Hold on one sec. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, Dave. This is John again.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Everything's good, man. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Hey, I'm going to be considering teaching on Philippians or Ephesians. Have any preference if I do an expository on either one of those books? Do you care which way or one way or another?
I'm sorry, Dave. I didn't hear you.
Would you rather hear a teaching on Ephesians or Philippians down the road?
Ephesians.
Okay, that's fair enough. I just want to take everybody's pulse. All right, my friend, here's the big trivia question. All right, here we go.
Yes, sir.
How many seals, how many trumpets, and how many bowls? So you got the seals, then you got the trumpets, then you got the bowls. How many of each of those in the book of Revelation?
777 or 21.
That is correct, sir. That is right. Good job, John. Good job.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Exactly
yes,
on sir. Target. So that's a very, very interesting how many times the number seven is in the book of Revelation. It's the,
that's right.
It's
that's right.
Very
that's right.
Fascinating. Excellent job, my friend.
Thank you, Dave. See you later.
All right. God bless you. Okay. I can't believe we got that in. Good job by John. Okay. So here's something that the Lord's been teaching me. This is the lesson. You know, I'm just telling you this. So we talked a little bit about, you know, speeding up the coming of the Lord by witnessing. And in this sense, you're not speeding up. In another sense, you are. And we talked about biblically being Jewish. And we talked about the ends justifying the means. Here is the practical teach that I think is essential for all of us to know. And that is, many times as a Christian, we want the Lord to direct us. We want to do what the Lord wants. We're not trying to do something different. We actually have a desire, most of us, because we love the Lord, we want to do the right thing. We want to go in the right direction. Not bizarre, not weird. That's totally normal. And seeking wisdom from God is a common process. We're told, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. And we want to do that. But there are times in your journey where the Lord won't be specific about a direction. And you're thinking, well, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. I'll never forget the first time I heard it and how it applies. When you go to buy a car, the Lord can absolutely, positively lead you to the right place, direct you, coordinate it. But if you're on a lot and there's 10 different cars and they're all the exact same and all the finance is the exact same and everything's the exact same, you might say, well, what color car should I buy? The answer is, what color do you like? God's not driving the car. You are. In other words, it's not wrong to make decisions. There is a sense where we have to use common sense and make decisions. Sometimes the Lord's gracious in that process, and he'll give you some big indicators or a sign or an open door or a closed door. That, of course, that happens. But there are times when none of it happens. And you have to be aware of that, because God gave you this amazing thing between your left and your right ear. It's called a brain. And we're allowed to use it, because God gave it to us. Psalm 32:9, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle. Oh, okay, don't be like that. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 57, Jesus said, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? Sometimes you have to take it on and just make a decision. This is the best decision I can make. And one of the things that I don't think the church, maybe we don't teach it a lot, or maybe I just haven't heard it a lot. But sometimes you can make the best decision you can, surrender it to the Lord and say, hey, I'm going to do this. If you want to change it, I surrender it to you. But otherwise, this is the direction I'm going. There's no error in that. God's not up in heaven screaming at you. Proverbs 2:7 says, he grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He's a shield to those who walk with integrity. Proverbs 8:5 says, you simple people use good judgment. Okay, you foolish people, show some understanding. There's decision time and power within all of our lives, and we need to utilize that. So I want to close this out with sharing with you, and I've shared it before, and I'll share it again, a fast that I did with the Lord. I was living in Peoria, 43rd in Peoria in Phoenix, Arizona. It was a goofy house, but, you know, it had a kind of a cool pool, because in Phoenix a lot of places have pools, but I used to jump off the roof into the pool. I didn't say I did everything smart. And one time my son was on a little floating island. He was only three. And I hit the thing and he went shooting straight up in the air and then came down. Then I had to go save him. Because, yeah, I didn't say I was the smartest dad. I just telling you what I did. So anyway, I had this decision that I had to make. And so I told the Lord, okay, well, what should I do? And I fasted. I think if you fast, that's your way of saying, I'm really committed to this process. I need an answer. And so I remember being in the living room. You walk into the house, and on your left is a living room. It kind of sinks in by 6 or 8 inches, just to give you an idea. Very small. Very, very, very small. And I remember fasting and praying and before the Lord and yelling out to the Lord. And I, just as clear as could be, heard the Lord say, make a good decision. I thought, what? That's not the answer I was looking for. I was looking for a turn left here. Here's your telegram. Here's your, you know, here's where you get. Here's your map. And the Lord was teaching me. It's not as though he didn't know what I was going to choose, but he did give me a brain for a purpose. And sometimes it would be good if we would use it. After all, we can interpret the signs of the sky, whether it's going to rain or not. It's almost like the Lord's like going, make a good call. Do a good, you know, make a good decision. Like, you know, think it through and do the best you can. And again, it's not like the Lord doesn't know what you're going to do, but he does want us to use the gifts and the abilities he's given us to make those calls. Then, after you've done that, surrender it. So if you're in a position where you're trying to figure out whether you should take the red pill or the blue pill from the Matrix, one, don't take the pill that gets you out of it. And then two, make the best decision you can. Surrender that to the Lord and then just go forward. He knows what you're going to try and do. He knows what the plan is. You know he's not going to bless it if it's got sin all over it. And you know if you're honest and sincere about it, he'll be with you in it. And if you're otherwise minded, as the scripture says, he will reveal even this unto you. He'll show you. But you got to kind of just make that call and go, okay, Lord, here I go. I'm going to do this. And that's excluding if the Lord showed you something. If the Lord showed you something, do what he said, because you're going to have to answer for it. But if not, and you're trying to make a decision, make the best decision you can based on the best info you can, based on the abundance of counsel that you can get, and move forward. The Lord's not going to be angry with you for using common sense. He wants you to, but he wants it all submitted to his hand. Okay? All right. That's pretty solid. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.